First, though, the White House still holds out hope for comprehensive cybersecurity legislation from Congress. Just not a lot of hope. Now the administration's goal is to get smaller bills passed through Congress that address challenges everyone can agree on. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller is here to talk about the White House's new approach. Why do we have a sense that this is the change of mind that the White House is taking in not giving up on comprehensive cybersecurity legislation, but almost?
Well, it's only been 3 years since they've been trying to get this comprehensive bill through Congress.
Right.
And you know what? It hasn't worked yet. So I think it's time for something different. I mean, what's the old adage? Insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yes.
I think they're trying to step away from the insanity plea on this one. And I think, you know, it is time to do something different. And Michael Daniel is the White House cybersecurity coordinator.
I know that there are a lot of people up on the Hill, like Representative Langevin, like Chairman McCaul on the House side, on the Senate side. You have a number of Senator Whitehouse and Senator Carper and others that have been incredibly involved in the cyber issues. And so there is Senator Rockefeller on the Commerce Committee. So there's a lot of interest in cybersecurity legislation. I do think the administration standpoint, one thing that has evolved in our thinking is that I do think that it would probably be easier for us to get smaller pieces of cyber legislation rather than one giant comprehensive bill. And so a lot of our efforts are involved at getting whatever we can passed on whatever vehicle we can manage to get it attached to, as long as the policy and the legislation itself is acceptable.
Now, Daniel spoke today at an event sponsored by the Center for National Policy and the Christian Science Monitor in Washington. Now, you heard Daniel say whatever vehicle they can get it attached to, that would work. That is, of course, Washington talk for the Defense Authorization Bill, or even potentially the omnibus spending bill should Congress decide to write one up. Now, there are plenty of bills that have made it through the House. They have plenty to choose from of what smaller piecemeal legislation they could push through. And there's plenty that made it through the Senate as well. At the top of the list has to be the update to the Federal Information Security Management Act, or FISMA. That bill has received bipartisan support from both houses of Congress. So that would be one that I would tell you is at the top of the list. Another one potentially is information sharing around cybersecurity. That's definitely gaining ground. There's still some disagreements of how best to address liability protections for industry when sharing with the government, but I think that one has strong possibilities as well. And there are several cyber workforce bills that have broad support, such as one by Congresswoman Yvette Clarke that would require DHS to develop classifications for cyber expertise that could also be shared across government.
All right. Is there any appetite, though, to take on something like this when there is still so much heavy lifting to do when they come back for the lame duck session after the election?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And that's why it potentially doesn't look so promising. And that's why I think you heard Michael Daniel say, well, let's try to attach it to something, because there are certain things we know are going to go through. The defense authorization bill is probably the best example.
Mm-hmm.
But the White House, I think, does have a few things going for it, specifically all the recent commercial cyber breaches that have happened over the last year. Now, Frank Schlufo is the director of the Homeland Security Policy Institute at the George Washington University in Washington.
The Target breach was bad for Target in many, many ways, billion-dollar bad. But because there was punishment in terms of the marketplace, punishment in terms of people losing jobs, punishment in terms of the board being threatened with a recall, it sent shockwaves throughout numbers of other boards, and it's bringing attention to this, and we're seeing action happen in a way that wasn't before. And so what I'm getting at is that there is, in this aura of cyber insecurity that surrounds us right now, we're seeing a lot of the needed actions that have been put off for a long time moving forward. We're seeing the building up of kind of the awareness that we've called for. We're seeing the change in some of the education. Now, clearly, it's not fast enough. It's not good enough. But we're in a better place than we were, say, 2-3 years ago. And part of it, again, I hope we can change from the mentality from thinking that we have to defend against everything to instead become resilient.
Now, the most recent hack that came to light at JPMorgan Chase also is serving as a further wake-up call for the government. In fact, that data breach drew the attention of the White House. Daniel says his office informed President Obama and his senior staff as part of their daily briefings on a wide range of security threats to the nation. He says it's no different than any other threat or problem or incident involving the critical infrastructure of the United States. So it's not really that big of a deal to inform them. But the point is, that's how high cyber has raised. Now, Daniel says he realizes getting legislation through may be tough this year, but they're going to continue to try.
We've been heavily involved with the relevant committees of jurisdiction in both the House and the Senate to work on the legislation and make improvements to it and get it into a place that could pass both houses and that the president could sign. We remain committed to doing that, but obviously getting anything passed on Capitol Hill right now is quite a challenge. So I think that we try to be realistic, but something that we still remain heavily engaged with.
Now, Daniel says in the meantime, the administration will continue to press forward using its existing authorities. He says legislation is still necessary and eventually Congress will get there, he believes, whether it's this session or the next one or the next one after that.
As hard a lift as this has been, they must be doing other things besides legislation to move this concept forward, of course.
Absolutely. And there's certain things that the administration feels like they can do without legislation. And we talk about several of those, starting with the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, or CDM program. Other cross-agency priority goals, such as two-factor authentication using employee smart cards under HSPD-12, or even the trusted internet connections. In fact, Daniel offers details on a new twist on an old priority.
The recent guidance that came out from the Office of Management and Budget on FISMA, on the Federal Information Security Management Act implementation, is tying it ever closer to the framework. And so I think agency CIOs are getting tired of me coming and talking to them about how they have to use the framework inside their own agencies, but that is clearly the direction that we're moving in, and that we're bringing those principles into how we manage the federal government's own cybersecurity, and we're developing, in fact, an overlay for the federal government that's related to the framework.
Now, you heard Michael Daniel say several times, the framework. That's, he's talking there about the cybersecurity framework for critical infrastructure protection that NIST developed, and the White House had a big play in part of the President Obama's executive order. Now, that cybersecurity framework is also helping agencies to do a better job of protecting their computers and networks from a more holistic view, not just protect the systems and the data, but really understand what it means to their businesses if they lose data or if a system goes offline. It's really a business problem, not a cyber or a technology problem. Daniel says they've been working hard to build agencies' response and recovery capabilities. You heard him say that as part of resilience. You heard that comment earlier in the program. Now, processes and tools are obviously important, but if agencies don't have the skilled and trained workforce, then little else matters. Daniel says the administration has been taking steps over the last 5 years to expand the skills and overall concept of the cyber workforce.
We need a much bigger workforce to deploy against the problem. And it needs to have an incredibly wide array of skills, ranging from a lot more technically focused folks to help companies out with and government agencies out with their immediate technical problems associated with cybersecurity, but also people that understand how cybersecurity interacts with their industries, how it interacts with industrial control systems, how it interacts with our financial sector. So from a policy standpoint, from a legal standpoint, from an international standpoint.
Daniel says the administration has launched or plans to launch several new tools to build the cyber workforce in all sectors of the economy.
We are really trying to drive a connection with the administration's jobs-driven training initiative. And in fact, earlier this month, we rolled out a whole slew of grants for community colleges and other universities, a lot of which will go to cybersecurity-related programs to support efforts in expanding that. And of course, because this is Washington, we have an acronym for our efforts in this area, the National Initiative for Cyber Education, the NICE. That's really focused on sort of three different efforts, one of which is to develop a heat map of where the cybersecurity-related jobs are, to really expand the number of cyber centers of academic excellence that are accredited by DHS and the National Security Agency, and to expand the Scholarship for Service program that funds specific cybersecurity-related scholarships. So in all of that effort, we are really trying to just do what we can from a policy perspective to drive an expansion in our cyber workforce so that we have the personnel that we'll need to address this wicked problem that I've talked about.
Now, Daniel says agencies and industry definitely need to recognize that cyber skills don't necessarily mean just technical skills, but those people who are diplomats or financial officers or acquisition experts must know where cyber fits into their discipline. It goes back to the idea of it's a business problem, not a technology problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reason why the administration is trying to create this large pool of cyber experts to choose from. There's this huge need, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
No, you're right about that. And I'm fascinated by this idea of the changing format of the legislation, because it, you said 3 years, it seems like an awful lot longer than that they've been trying to get something. And it's interesting that the White House has decided now, with where we are in the political spectrum, so close to the election, potential change in the governance of the Senate, that the White House has decided now something will be better than nothing.
And I think that's what the discussion has been all along, is why don't they do what they can? Why are they always trying to push this huge bill through and eat the elephant in one bite when they could, you know, eat the elephant in smaller bites. And it took them a while to come around. And part of the reason why is when you talk to experts, they would tell you, well, without this, whatever this piece of legislation, the rest doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of disagreement over that, because if you can update FSMA, which everyone agrees needs to be done, that would make agency networks a little bit safer. If you can deal with information sharing, even if the liability protection is still not as strong as it needs to be or not as perfect, but it has something, then at least you're making some progress. And I think that's what's key here is making the progress.
A lot of people, to your point, agree that without this, in air quotes, everything else doesn't matter, but nobody can agree on what this should be. There's no consensus on that.
Absolutely. I think you have some think tanks that lean left will tell you it's got to be, you know, full-on regulation. The think tanks that lean more right will tell you no regulation, it's got to be a partnership, and they can't seem to find that happy medium. And I think the framework, if that can be successful, and there's another meeting coming up soon around the framework, if that can show that people are adopting it, they are following these voluntary standards, then I think then you'll see some movement in Congress potentially, because they'll say, oh, look, this approach actually is working better than maybe the more stringent, you will do this type of approach.